In the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 9, Hebrews chapter 9, I want to read some familiar scripture this morning. And my granddaddy used to say that all scripture should be familiar if we read our Bibles like we should. But this is some of the more familiar scripture in the Word of the Lord, and we'll not spend too much time on it as it deals with that precious blood of Christ. And there is nothing that can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
There is nothing that can make us whole again but the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm grateful that I know about the precious cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning, that's what I want to talk about, is the power of the blood of Christ. The power of the blood of Christ. If you have found your place, and if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us, and we'll reverence the reading of the word of the Lord. From Hebrews chapter number 9, and beginning reading in verse number 12. The word of the Lord says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The established premise being that we are not saved by the offerings of the Old Testament, by the ordinances of the Old Testament, or by the officers of the Old Testament. It is not by priests, it is not by rabbis, it is not by masters of the law. We do not get this through men, nor through a message, but we get this through the Messiah. And if the blood of bulls and goats and calves from the Old Testament law did anything to any degree to sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, and it did postpone the judgment of God for another day and another time, it did please the Lord, and it is the method through which God was appeased, through which his wrath was satisfied in the Old Testament, until the day would come that the Messiah would come and offer himself. If they at all accomplished anything, how much more, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge, not in any way just cleanse, but purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You can be seated. Thank you this morning for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Scarlet thread of the blood of Christ runs from Genesis to Revelation throughout the Bible. We see that offering of the blood, it is the access point of man to God. We see that in Cain and Abel, as Cain offers a sacrifice unto the Lord. And that offering that Cain gives of the vegetables from the ground are not pleasing unto God, and the Lord had not respect unto that, but he had respect unto the offering of Abel, and the offering of Abel being that of the firstlings of the field. It's the blood of Christ that makes the eternal difference in the lives of men. Amen. And the book of Hebrews speaks much about the blood, and specifically about the blood of Christ, who is our New Testament Lamb, the Lamb of a better covenant built upon better promises, executed by a better testator, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become the mediator of this New Testament covenant. And we have the blood of Christ, who is our high priest. He's our sacrifice. He is our everything, and we put all of our hope in him. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for our sin only, but for the sin of the whole world." The word propitiation, it is an act of appeasing God by atoning for sin. Amen. If we don't deal with the sin problem, we'll never satisfy the Lord. Amen. The Lord cannot be pleased with our works. He cannot be pleased with our wisdom. He cannot be pleased with water baptism. He cannot be pleased with wafers fed by some priest somewhere. He is not pleased by anything that we would do, any work of righteousness, but he is pleased with his own Son, Jesus Christ. And he becomes the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sin of the whole world. The power of the blood of Christ is that he can deal with a problem that nothing and no one else could deal with. And that is the sin problem, the problem man has in his heart. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, there may be some sins of which a man cannot speak, but there is no sin which the blood of Christ cannot wash away. Amen. Plunge into the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and in an instant you are whiter than snow. Every speck, every spot, and every stain of sin is gone and gone forever. Trust Christ and you shall live. The bloody sacrifice of Calvary is the only hope of sinners. Amen. I appreciate what Brother Pace often says, that Jesus and his blood is our only and all-sufficient hope. And it is both. And I'm thankful that I know something about the blood of Christ. Amen. And we're preaching this morning simply about the power of the blood of Christ. I don't really have three things and three things about those three things this morning as oftentimes that I do. But let me share with you this morning four things, and I don't have things about those things necessarily. And I tell Gracie, if I don't have subpoints, then it's just exhorting and not preaching. And she said, well, what's the other difference? And that is, if I'm preaching, I sweat all the way down past my knees. And so this morning, I don't know if I'll preach a whole sermon, but share with you what the Lord has laid on her heart. We want to talk to you about the power of the blood of Christ, and we'll deal with this morning the declaration of the blood showing its power, the depth of the blood showing its power, the duration of the blood showing its power, and then the direction of the blood showing its power. The declaration, the depth, the duration, and the direction of the blood that shows the power of the blood of Christ. Let's begin this morning dealing with the declaration of the blood of Christ. The declaration of the blood of Christ. He redeemed us through his blood. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14, the Bible declares, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse number 20 of the same chapter, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Let me declare unto you this morning, his blood, if you are saved, his blood has redeemed us. He bought us off the slave block of sin. He settled the war between God and man by making peace with his blood. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There will be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. His blood has redeemed us. I can sing this morning, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Christ has redeemed us. To be redeemed is to be purchased. It is to be paid for. It is to have your debt wiped out. It is to take and wipe out, or to eliminate the cost that must be paid. And then to purchase unto oneself an item of value. Christ redeemed us. He counted us valuable. He counted us worthy. He counted us worthwhile unto him. We, my friend, have value to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the young boy or young man who was in Bible college, and he began to tell me about how that the instructor that day called upon him to pray. And said that everybody, you know, different days he would call on different people to pray, and different times he would call on different ones in the group. All them young preachers had called on him to preach and so forth, right on the spot. So you just had to go ready. And he's a young man, frightened to death, scared to death, thinks that every preacher in the room is a better preacher than he is, you know, and they all must know more than what he does, and certainly is intimidated by that man standing, the instructor at the front of the class who has all of these degrees and things behind his name. And he said, finally, that's the day came when the man called upon him to pray. And he said, I bowed my head and I began to pray. And he said, I told the Lord, I thank him for loving me and taking notice of me as unworthy and worthless as what I am. And he said, the fellow instructing the class stopped him right in the middle of his prayer and said, stop right there. No more praying. There's a point we must listen to and I need to instruct you on right now. He walked down the aisle of the classroom where that boy was sitting, young man, teenage preacher boy. And he said, I don't ever want to hear you pray like that again. He said, you listen to me and hear me well, son. He said, you are not worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not worthy of the blood that he shed. You are not worthy of his grace and his favor. But never say that you are worthless again. If you were worthless, Jesus wouldn't have paid for you. But you were worth a lot to him. You're not worthy of his blood, but you're not worthless either. You have great value to God. That's why he redeemed us. He loved us while we were yet in our sin. He valued us when the world had tossed us away. And my friend, whenever the society thinks that they can't do anything with you, I think about old Legion yonder in the hills, cutting himself with stones and crying out day and night, consumed with devils. And everybody had tried to help him. And they tried to lock him with fetters and chains, and they were plucked asunder by him. That is, the sheriff tried to do something with him, and no man could tame him. The psychologist tried to do something with him. My friend, he was an outcast in the stones and in the hills and in the mountains day and night. Society could do nothing with him. Oh, but when the Savior showed up, the Savior could do something with him. He might not have been worth anything to anybody else, but he had value to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were worth, my friend, a lot to him. Oh, yes, yeah, surely it's right. He paid too much for us, but he did it because he really wanted us. He did it because he really loved us. He did it because he really cares. He did it because he values you and me. And the declaration that he redeemed us through his blood shows us his power. And his power, my friend, not only to pay for us, but when he paid for us to bring us out, and when he brought us out to give us victory, and to give us victory and to make us different. And I am what I am today because of the power of the blood of the Lamb. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. The blood overcomes the devil. Satan hates every mention of the blood of Christ. He would love to shut it down in our singing and in our sermons and in our testimonies. He would love to shut us up and shut us down in our preaching about the blood of Christ. He would love to cast out the concept of a bloody religion. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But praise God, the cause of the blood of Christ. His blood spells the collapse of Satan's power. It spells the possibility of salvation for all who will believe. It declares Satan's doom for eternity. His blood purchased us and bought us. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. He purchased us, bought us, paid for us. And the devil says you cannot. The devil says you will not. The devil says I won't have this or that. He tempts us and tries us and tests us. And we don't belong to him. What happens in our lives ain't none of the devil's business. That Jesus bought and paid for us. We belong to the Lord. We're not the devil's property. And we are not, my friend, there any longer under his power. And the blood of Christ has redeemed us and made us his own. The declaration of the blood of Christ shows us its power. And then I want to say this morning, The death of the blood of Christ shows us its power. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Yeah. All means all, and that's all that all means. I mean, his blood cleanses us from all of our sin. How deep does the blood go? It goes deeper than the stain has gone. Dark the stain that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. The depth of the blood shows its power. Your dirtiest, deepest, rottenest, darkest sin, and the blood can wash it all away. The things that you'd want to never tell anybody else about, God knew all about them, paid for them on the cross of Christ at Calvary. And my friend, if you'll trust Jesus, he'll wash them all away. The things that men will never let you live down, God will never bring them back up again. That which man can never forget, God has chosen to never remember. The death of the blood of Christ shows us its power. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." I'm glad there is a fountain, hallelujah, for sin and for uncleanness. Yeah. John chapter 1 verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Not only did that Lamb of God, my friend, deal with, reconcile, wash away some of our sin. And not only, my friend, was it the sin of a household or the sin of a man, but it was the sin of the whole world. Oh, praise his dear name. In Genesis, it's a lamb for a man. In Exodus, it is a lamb for a house. In Leviticus, it is a lamb for a nation. Oh, bless his holy name. But in John, it's a lamb for a whole world. In the book of Revelation, it's a lamb for eternity. It's from before the beginning to after the end. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and everything in between the A to the Z. I'm glad I know something about that precious blood of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He does not just put our sins in a sack. That's Old Testament doctrine. Put them in a bag. That'd be pretty good. Just sack them up and carry them off. He does not just put our sins behind his back. That's what the Old Testament said. He does not just put them in the sea of forgetfulness. That is also what the Old Testament said. Oh, bless his name. He doesn't just remove them as far as the east is from the west. Though that's a blessing, but Old Testament again. But in the New Testament, he takes them away. He takes them away. He takes them away. So you ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And my sins are gone. Where are they? They're not. They are gone. Where do you find them? You can't. They're gone. The Lord takes them away. He takes away the sin of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. For those people that have always been perfect, that ain't never done nothing wrong, that's always done everything right, then you have no cause to rejoice in this. The thing is, I don't see any of them in attendance this morning. And for everybody else like you and me, that have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we ought to rejoice that Jesus takes away our sin through his blood. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm glad Jesus is in the saving business. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse number 9. "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind,
have nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And if that's where the scripture ended, we would all be very depressed. Because somewhere in there would find ourselves, somewhere in there would find that we had failed the Lord and come short of the glory of God. But the verse number 11 said, and such were some of you, that ye are washed, how, by the blood of Jesus, that ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. I'm so thankful that the blood of Christ, he washes, he sanctifies, he justifies. The washing is an inward work. The sanctifying is an outward work. The justifying is an upward work. I'm right on the inside. He's making me right on the outside. And praise God, I'm headed towards heaven, where I'm right forever. God changes a man internally, externally, and eternally. Hallelujah. Changed by the power of God. The depth of the blood shows its power. It reaches to the highest heaven, and it flows to the lowest valley. You'll be clean for the first time in your whole life. The day the Lord saves your soul, and only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can calm the restless billows of the darkened heart. Only Jesus can quench the abiding thirst of the spirit of man. Only Jesus can settle the disturbed mind of a condemned sinner. He is today bread to the hungry. He is water to the thirsty. He is rest to the weary. He is refuge to the guilty. He is honey from the rock for the angry. He is light for the darkened heart. He is the way for the lost. Oh, he's a foundation for the man who's sinking down with no hope. He is the righteousness for the vile. He is hope for the doomed. He is the answer for the confused. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah this morning. He is a path for the wayfaring pilgrim. He is a strength for the weak. He's wisdom for the foolish. He's a general for the soldier. His blood reaches deeper than the stain is gold. The death of the blood of Christ declares in us its power. I say hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm wondering this morning, are you washed? Are you washed? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know what it is to be saved? Have your sins been washed away? Hey, hey. He reached way below the bottom for me that night. The old fellow from Disney, Kentucky said I was lower than a snake's belly in a wagon wheel rut the night the Lord saved my soul. But I'm glad he reached down his hand for me. How they sang years ago, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his son. But he reached down his hand for me. Oh, praise his name. And that they also sang, he lifted me up out of the miry clay, set my feet on the rock to stay. But a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the depth of the blood shows us its power today. The declarations of the blood, the depth of the blood. Number three this morning, the duration of the blood shows us his power. How long will it last? How long will it last? Some of you, when you got saved, this old world said it'll last a little while. You'll get religion, you'll do better. I know your kind, you've done this before. I'd give you a couple of weeks, couple of days, couple of months, you'll be back out here with us. You'll be back to the liquor bottle. You'll be back to the street corner. You'll be back to the needle and the pills. You'll be back to going to the honky-tonks and the juke joints and the liquor outfits with us. You'll live like we lived before long. You just got a dose of religion. It won't last. It'll just be a little while. 6 months past, a year past. Some of you 25, 30 years, 40 years have passed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 31 years have passed. I still hold good. I still holding duration of the blood. Our salvation that Jesus bought for us is not the little while kind. It's not the seasonal kind. It's not the spoiling kind. It's not the kind that gets burnt after just a little while. Oh, but it is the eternal kind. It is the forever kind. It's the last in all ways kind. It's the everlasting kind. It's the heaven and earth kind. It's the hay. It's this life and the life to come kind. Oh, bless his dear name. Oh, that's why Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. For God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. At 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what kind of life? Eternal life. And that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me, he hath what? Everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And there will never come a day when Jesus tells us we'll have to seek a new means of salvation. The potency of the blood has expired. It's past the expiration date. It's past the use by date. It's past the best if not used by date. It's never lost its shelf life. Oh, bless his name. It's the forever kind. Forever kind. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're as happy about that this morning as what I am. But I'm thinking, what psalm is it, Brother Matthew? I'm thinking about his mercy endureth forever. Over and over and over and over. Is it Psalm 103? Towards the end of maybe Psalm 107. Don't make a whole lot of difference. It's in there. And that verse is over and over again. Just about every verse since him. His mercy endureth forever. 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 You know why it's over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? Because his mercy endures forever. Amen. If his mercy, if his blood had a shelf life, if it had an expiration, if it would sour on you, if it would spoil on you, if it would run on you. And listen, I know run is not a word, but I also know what county I pastor in. And I got to talk same language that all the rest of us grew up talking here once in a while for us to know what we're talking about. If it had run on you, then none of us would want to be saved. Wouldn't do us any good to be saved. But praise God, this is what the Lord has put in our hearts. And what God has done, it is forever. And no man can put to it or take away from it. Oh, bless his name. It is the forever kind. The duration of the blood of Christ tells us about its power. It has staying power. It has staying power. I got news for you about this foolishness here. It comes to pass. Men rise and fall. Senators, congressmen, oh my. Presidents, state senators, judges, rise and fall. Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, oh my Lord, help us. Libertarians. You realize there was a time in this country when most of the people who served in positions of power were called Whigs. I mean, you think a fella called a Whig could even get elected as dog catcher anymore. I mean, it rises and falls. It comes and goes. It fades out and is no more. Oh, that's exactly right. There used to be people called Federalists. There were the Federalists and the Whigs, and then there was the Democrat Republicans, and they couldn't make up their mind if they were Democrats or Republicans, and now they call themselves Democrats, even though they started off Republicans, Democrat Republicans, until they got defeated by the Republicans. And I mean, it's all mixed up. It's all mixed up because men come and go. They rise and fall. I saw a sign, church sign, on the way home from North Carolina in a revival meeting. It said, while the donkeys and the elephants are fighting each other, the lamb is prevailing. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his dear name. The Lord, his blood endures forever. The duration of the blood. The kingdoms of the Gentiles are for a little while. There may be heads of gold and arms of silver and bellies of brass and legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. And that is Nebuchadnezzar's image. Have that a Gentile nation. Oh, and even in the last days, in the days of Jacob's trouble, they'll rebuild an image. I believe it'd be an image of the Antichrist. And at that temple that is established at the dome of the rock, and command all to worship his image. But praise God. And there'll come a stone tumbling out of the mountain, not hewn by the hands of man, made by the master builder, made by the Lord himself. And he'll tumble down through Babylon. That is this old Babylonian world. And he'll smite the statue at the feet, where false religion and government comes together, where church and state and corruption have meets together. And Christ Jesus will have preeminence. And my friend, when he's destroyed the kingdoms of this world, he himself will form a mountain, and that rock will fill the whole world. And Christ will be preeminent forever. The duration of the blood, that says it has power to wash sin away. Amen. And to wash sin away forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I wasn't worn out, I'd preach a little while this morning. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh, and when we get there, we're going to sing and shout and dance about and give God the glory. We're going to march around the throne eternal on that wonderful day. Oh, bless his high holy name. Going to put on our crown. I put down our cross. Take up a crown. I put on our golden shoes. I'll sing glory to the Lamb. March in the golden street parade. And what a day that day's going to be. When we get there 10 million years from now, we start to sing a song. 10 million years from now, the heavenly choir director looks over to the angel band and says, strike us a C chord. We're going to sing about the blood. Thou art worthy. Oh, thou art worthy, O Lamb of God, who has redeemed us out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. For thou hast shed thy blood and washed us and made us clean and white in the blood of the Lamb. And the four beasts and the 24 elders that stand and say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And that was slain. And thousands and thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 will rise up with one voice, like Niagara Falls, and the voice of many waters, and the sound of the thunders of the heavens, and they'll sing hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And a million years from now, my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while the ages shall roll. The duration of the blood shows us his power. Amen. The declarations, the depth, the duration, and finally this morning, the direction of the blood. The direction of the blood. You realize when Christ died on the cross of Calvary and they beat him on his way there, mocked him and laughed at him and spat in his face and put a bag over his head and struck him, the Bible said, smote him repeatedly. Mean, gruff, heartless, cruel centurion soldiers. And they smack him in the face. They'd say, all right, now if you're a prophet with a bag on his head, smack him in the face. If you're really a prophet, tell us who it was that smote you. Oh, he knew. Like a lamb to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Like a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Amen. Took him to Gabbatha, tied him up to the whipping post. with the cat of nine tails, stripped his back 39 lashes, beat off the meat off of his bones so you could have seen his rib cage exposed in his back and his insides. The Bible says his entrails were hanging out. The insides of his body had been exposed, and he's dragging his innards up towards Calvary. Take and put that crown of thorns on his head, a purple robe, a mockery on his back. March him before the people after they'd beaten him in the head with a reed and said, "Behold your king." And they laughed at him. And the people said, "Crucify him and let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And they delivered Jesus when they had scourged him to be crucified, placed a cold, cruel Roman cross on his back and cursed him as he drug. And my friend, that cross up there up, my friend, the lonely hill of Calvary. Oh, and he had to bear his burden alone until he fell beneath him. And they called for one Simon, my friend of Ethiopia, to come and with him to bear that cross. And they went up the cross or up the hill of Calvary, where he was fastened to the tree and raised between heaven and earth. The bleeding and dying, innocent, perfect Lamb of God, giving his life for you and for me. And the blood poured from his face and from his wounds, from his head, from his body, from his hands and from his feet. Oh, and yet he looked down through the blood and the sweat and the tears at those that mocked his name and spat on him, made fun of him and hurt his mother and his family and frightened his disciples that he loved. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, bless his name. And he looked up towards heaven and said, "It is finished. Into thy hands do I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head on his chest and he gave up the ghost and he died. My friend, they come by breaking the legs of those saints to hasten their death, and finding Christ already dead, and they take a spear and pierce him into his side, and forthwith flows both blood and water. You know where that blood's headed to? My friend, to the mercy seat, and to the place of atonement, and to take care of my sin and yours. It's available for washing this morning. It's available for salvation today. The direction is towards our sin. The direction is towards our guilt. The direction is towards our standing with God. The direction is towards us for forgiveness. And you, the sinner, you, the lost man, you, the guilty, you, my friend, are the recipients of Christ's blood. He gave his life that you might live. He died for your sin. He died that you might be clean. He gave his life to make you right with God. The direction shows its power. He came not for those who were whole. He came for the sick. For the whole have no need of a physician. Oh, bless his name.
Thank God.
He came not to save the righteous, but to call sinners unto repentance. That's the direction of the blood towards sinners. And you know what he said to us in Romans 10 and 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that he died for us, was buried for us, and that he rose again for us, thou shalt be saved. You know why I'm saved tonight, today? Because that's what I did when I heard the old story about a Savior that came from glory. Oh, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Anyone who asks the Lord to save them can be saved. And that is the direction of the blood. The blood of Jesus will go anywhere and everywhere to everybody to save everyone who trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm finished preaching today. Here's the question. Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to him? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? How about you this morning? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Everybody stand, please. I've preached what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. I know that my voice is a little bit weak and I'm kind of tattered and ragged. I've preached a whole lot this week and preached long sermons. They didn't have much singing, so I felt like I could preach as long as I needed to, and I preached long ones, wide open all the way through. God blessed in the meeting. This morning, I've not preached long, but I've preached what the Lord gave me. I've tried to be obedient to Him this morning. Sinner, if you're lost this morning, unsaved, you don't have your sin problem dealt with, now's the time to receive Jesus in your heart. Saint of God, TJ and Tasha and Gracie, when they were young, used to get up here in this stage and grab them microphones. Well, not these microphones. We didn't have them then. Little silver microphones with the big buttons on them. They'd flip the switches on and stand there and sing, sometimes on tune and sometimes not. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. All that found me and sought me and bought me paid the price for my sin.
Yes, yes.
I say thank God for the blood of the Lamb. If you need to be saved, I'd invite you to come sing for us. Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? These altars are open to you this morning. Would you come? All you saved folks ought to be praying for people lost. To be honest with you, I don't know how in the world we can stand and just not say thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of the Lamb. Washed away all of my sin and made me right in the sight of God. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved. I can jump a foot and a half high and run to Goobertown, Arkansas. I'm glad I'm born again by the blood of the Lamb. You washed me in His own blood and made me clean and right. Sing for us if you will. If you need to come, would you come and pray?
Have you been to Jesus for the
saved? Saved folks praying for sinners. Sinners praying to be saved.
In the blood,
yeah, everybody thanking Jesus. Your hymn book, get one on page 177, and I want you to help us sing. Everybody that's saved, I want you singing. If you can't sing, I want you pretending. Singing with us. If you're saved by the grace of God, I want every saved person singing for every lost person to hear. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Now's the time to get your sin problem dealt with. And the only way to deal with it is through the blood of the Lamb. So let's sing that fourth verse. Lead us on it, please.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments brothers, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
One chorus at least of I am washed, all right? If you're saved, you sing that. If you're saved, you sing, I am washed. I am washed. Let's sing.
I am washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Yes, my garment is spotless, I am white as snow. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb.
One more time. Tanya's older than I am. When she was young, and that's been a long time ago, you'll remember this, Brother John Mace, some of you around here may. There's some young people in Douglas County, Georgia, had a coven of sorts. I'm talking 15, 16, 17 year old girls, boys. Killed several animals, drank their blood. Finally, one week, they took one of their buddies and killed her, drank her blood, and offered her as a sacrifice to Satan. Kids that went to church, Baptist churches, they asked them, why would you do such a thing? They said, we were looking for power. This is the testimony one of those young ladies gave. She said, we went to church. No power. We went to Sunday school. There was no power. We talked to the preacher. There was no power. And so we've dedicated our lives to Satan so that we might have power. But I'm telling you, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I've done a very inadequate job this morning of declaring. I'm telling you, there is power.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. This morning, if you came here looking for power and you didn't find it, it's because you looked to the church, you looked to the preacher, you looked to the Sunday school, you looked to the choir, and you didn't look to Jesus, because there's power in the blood. Power's not in all those other things. Any power that's in us is because it came from Him. It's in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad His blood is on my soul, and because of that I do have power with God.
Yes, sir.
I'm not boasting in that. I'm grateful of it.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
well, I'm going to make an executive decision. Is everybody listening? I think I got your attention a while ago when I told you how old Tanya was. I'm going to make an executive decision.